This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
The Holy Spirit continues to set hearts on fire with the love of Christ and inspire people to bring the good news to a world that is aching to hear it. Welcome to Blazing the Trail, a weekly show dedicated to the church's mission of evangelization. Now, here's your guide on this grand adventure, Catholic singer, songwriter, author, and speaker, Miriam Marston.
And welcome back to Blazing the Trail here on Mater Dei Radio. My name is Miriam Marston, and I'm thankful that I get to spend this time with you each week as together we reflect on the many different ways we're seeing the good news of the truth and love of Jesus Christ shared across the local church and beyond. And you'll hear my guest this week, Leah Jacobson, reference a couple of times just how she felt a fire light up in her soul, and she was so motivated to discover and move ahead in her mission. And I loved hearing about that because truly each person has a particular call within the greater mission of evangelization. And not everyone is called to do what Leah has done and what she's embarking on now with this new program she'll discuss in our interview. But that is okay. If everyone had exactly the same call, then evangelization wouldn't advance very far because we'd all be trying to do the exact same thing, and that could get a little tricky. But out of that foundational mission given to us from Jesus, who instructs every Christian to go out into the world to share the gospel and to baptize, out of that identity of the church comes a flourishing of different ministries and apostolates and beautiful spiritualities, all of which are at the service of drawing others to Christ and His church. So to get us started, I'm sharing a song by the artist Lauren Daigle. This song is called You Say, and it came to mind as I was reflecting back on my conversation with Leah, because there are so many voices out there in the world, voices clamoring for our attention, but we need to let that voice of God cut through the cultural cacophony, because when we hear what He has to say about our deepest identity, what He has to say about why He created us and what He's calling us to, that's the voice to listen to intently and to follow. So it's good just to have this reminder to let what God has to say fill up our hearts and our minds. So here's the song, and I'll be back with my interview with Leah Jacobson on the other side of the music.
In my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. and now I'm laying it at your feet. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
I'm joined by Leah Jacobson, who serves as the program coordinator for the Nesty Center for Faith and Culture at the University of St. Thomas in Houston. Leah lives in Minnesota with her husband, Josh, and their 7 children. Leah, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm really good today. Thanks for having me.
Well, Leah, I was reading through your bio, and you've been working with young people and mothers for almost 25 years. And that is a beautiful commitment to this important area of outreach and ministry. But I'm curious what led you to that kind of work to begin with, because I imagine it's coming from a place of your own relationship with God and how He has impacted your own life profoundly. So could you share a bit about that?
I'd love to, actually. I'm a Midwest farm girl. I grew up on a dairy farm in central Minnesota, very close to nature, grew up in a very faithful Catholic family, a Catholic home, and had one of those kind of idyllic childhoods where you have the space to get to know the Lord and feel the Lord's love and see the Lord in action in His very ordered way, like just being close to nature, growing up in an agrarian community with crops and animals, and just getting a really peaceful sense of the Lord's order was kind of my childhood. And went off to college at the University of Minnesota Duluth. And that was the first time I ever lived within the city limits of a town. And that was a big change. And very quickly realized that my upbringing was very different from that of my peers and of my roommates and people that I was meeting. And there's just a very different, basically anthropology and understanding of life from a lot of people that haven't been raised in the faith. And it led me to get really involved with the Catholic Campus Ministry Program at the University of Minnesota Duluth. And this is a long time ago. This is pre-Father Mike Schmidt's days. Father Mike is now there, but I was there before Father Mike was there. And I got very involved at the Newman Center. And by the time that I graduated, I actually was hired by the Diocese of Duluth. So my husband, Josh, and I got married very young. The week we turned 22 years old, we got married and we moved into the Newman House. Was hired by the diocese to be the campus minister. And we spent the first 3 years of our marriage living in the Newman House, welcoming our first 2 children while we lived there, and interacting with college students day in, day out, every day, about what the realities are of married life, of the complementarity of man and woman, our fertility, accepting it, living with it, embracing it, what that all means. And it really lit a fire in my soul for the need for the church to do a better job evangelizing our young people. Because these were the most faithful Catholic students on campus. You know, theoretically, they're the ones that are showing up to Mass and Rosary group. And most were coming in with a very poorly catechized understanding of their fertility, what the church's teachings were on family and marriage. And it just really lit a fire. So that's where it all began. That's where my heart for this comes from. And I've always thought college campuses are the place where we can have such a strong impact on the next generation.
That's beautiful. How long were you then at the on campus, Leah?
Yeah, we spent the first 3 years of our marriage living at the Newman Center. And well, fun fact, then Father Mike moved in. As we were moving out, Father Mike Schmitz was moving in.
I see.
And so we overlapped for a year where he was my boss for his first year as campus minister. Yeah. And he's been there ever since. So he's been living in my old house ever since.
Praise God. That's great. I love that. It's a small world. It's always a small Catholic world. And then after your work at the Newman House, what did you do after that with that fire that was in your heart and your soul, Leah?
Yeah, I just felt so called to do something. And so I thought, well, maybe, you know, I was having lots of babies at this point. We welcomed our first four children in the first 5 years of our marriage, which was quite a wild ride, such a blessing, but also really difficult. It was really hard to do that. Yeah. And I had some difficult pregnancies. And so I was thinking, I think I'm called to go back to school to, you know, maybe be a midwife, maybe work in women's health somewhere. And so I applied to go back to nursing school. And a couple of weeks before class began, I went to the Adoration Chapel in Duluth, Minnesota, Our Lady Star of the Sea, and the Lord just dropped this vision on my heart, like in adoration, to work on opening women's healthcare centers. So this was back in about 2007. And so I founded a nonprofit at that point and began working towards opening up natural, holistic women's healthcare centers. I did go back to school, not to be a nurse, not to be a midwife, but I got my master's degree in women's health and wellness, and I became a board-certified lactation consultant. Those hours worked a little bit better as a mom with many young children. I couldn't be up in the middle of the night running off to help deliver babies as a midwife, but I could keep clinic hours as a lactation consultant. Yeah. And I dove really deep into the world of women's health and wellness and became more and more convicted that women are neither healthy or well in our culture and that we've done something really wrong. And that pushed me into a lot of research and reading about the women's movement and feminism and understanding what are the promises of feminism and what has actually been delivered. And it really made me look at women's studies programs, at gender studies programs, and try to wrap my head around what we were hoping to accomplish with these curriculums.
Yeah.
Because I took classes in college and I took classes in my master's program. Some of them titled things like the biology of woman. I took a class called the biology of woman. And nowhere in that class did I learn anything about tracking a woman's natural cycle of fertility. Wow. That entire class, a semester, was spent on contraceptive methods and how to prevent pregnancy and laws relating to that worldwide. And what a disservice, you know, what a disservice to me as a student wanting to learn about women and how our biology works, instead to just focus on the thing that actually dissociates us most from our body, which is removing our fertility.
Yeah. So it sounds like you were seeking more comprehensive vision, again, of anthropology, of understanding women, but also just identity in general. And I think that's going to lead us into the next part of our conversation with your current work. But when did you join the NESTI Center?
I just joined there within the last year. I started at the University of St. Thomas. So I had written a book back in 2021 called Holistic Feminism. And it was kind of my view for what a secular version of what John Paul II's new feminism would look like if we were to live it out in this world. And it caught the attention of some of the people at University of St. Thomas, and they reached out and said, we have a vision for a program here that is what you're talking about. And so we started conversations about a year ago right now. We started to have our initial conversations to see if we were on the same page. Because I had long thought, you know, I would love a women's studies major, but I can't, you know, women's studies majors at most universities, it's going to be so difficult for me to sit in that atmosphere. And so as the conversation began, we realized that we really had a very good alignment with what the University of St. Thomas believes. I wasn't very familiar with the University of St. Thomas in Houston, and I didn't realize that it was a very faithful Catholic college. It's listed in the Newman Guide. It's highly recommended as a place where they hold to the teachings of the church. And as I explored, I thought this is an opportunity to really flesh this out academically, that we can create a program that helps women be healthy and well in all areas of their life. So that's what's happening here. We're creating the program and the credential.
That's awesome. For those who are just tuning in, I'm speaking with Leah Jacobson, who serves as the program coordinator for the NESTI Center for Faith and Culture at the University of St. Thomas in Houston. Leah, I'd love to learn more about this curriculum and this program, which is brand new. It will launch in the fall of 2024. Is that correct?
That is correct. Our very first class opens this fall. So applications are open right now for students.
All right. And what's the actual name of the program, Leah? Let's start there.
The program, it's a Master of Arts in Catholic Women's and Gender Studies.
Okay. And what was, this is, I think, the only program like this right now. Is that correct?
It's the only one like this in the world. Like I said, you're going to see women in gender studies programs all over. They exist on most major college campuses, but you never see one that it on a Newman Center campus.
Interesting.
It's very different to look at it through a Christian anthropology and understanding of theology of the body. It changes everything about the entire curriculum.
It does. Well, you're in the right place because this show is Blazing the Trail, and that is what you're doing. You're blazing the trail. So what is then unique about how the program was constructed? How was it built? And what are some of the different subjects that are covered throughout the program?
Yeah, absolutely. So this program is so incredibly unique because with my background in women's healthcare, you know, kind of sitting at the helm of this, I have very strong beliefs about the importance of the biological reality of the bodies that we're given. And so this program has a very strong anchor in women's health and wellness and women's bodies, quite frankly, just based on what I shared with you about my education, really missing the mark on the uniqueness of women's bodies. We're focusing there quite a bit. There are three distinct kind of units or sections to this program, which are actually broken up into graduate certificates. So somebody could dip into the program and just take one of these certificates and not do the entire master's program. Or they could do all three of these certificates and complete the entire master's. And the first section of this is a Catholic feminism certificate. And that certificate really focuses on understanding the history of sex and gender. It looks at, you know, Catholic thought and feminism and how they intersect. It looks at some of the lives of canonized female saints. You know, we're going to be looking at the writings of, you know, St. Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross, you know, and also Hildegard of Bingen, and just great female thinkers, Catherine of Siena, you know, Joan of Arc, all of them. We want to look at the females in the church and how they're expressing their femininity in their sainthood and their holiness. Mm-hmm. We're also going to focus in that certificate a lot on Christian anthropology. The very first course is the human person, body and soul, because that is critical that we get that right at the very beginning of this program, that we understand our relationship to God and his deep love for us and the core concept that God does not make mistakes. When he makes us man and woman, it's not a mistake.
Yeah.
So that's the first section. The second section is that core of women's health and wellness. Mm-hmm. And this, if you were a healthcare provider or somebody in the field of health and wellness, and you just wanted to come for a certificate, this would be a perfect fit for you. We talk a lot about the history of women's healthcare, the evolution of the field, how standards have shifted, how sometimes it's grassroots demand and activism instead of sound scientific advancement that changes what we believe to be healthy for women. We're going to talk a lot about that. And then we're going to move into what the true advances in women's healthcare that are often missed, you know, things like nanotechnology and some of the just absolute amazing things that we're learning about women's bodies, but sometimes they just kind of get brushed under the rug. We're going to move an entire class. That one is led by Dr. Margaret Duane of FACTS, who's a dear friend. I just such a trailblazer herself. She'll be talking about all the true advances we're seeing in women's healthcare. And then a medical ethics class. We'll be looking at the Catholic medical ethics and women's healthcare, how it intersects. And the final area of the master's program, the final certificate that somebody could pop in and just take, is a gender and family policy certificate. And this is because we have to make real these teachings in our laws and in our policies. And we have to understand how policy is made and how we can affect policy. When we know better, how do we do better? And the classes in there are focused a lot on, you know, men, women, marriage, transgenderism, and public policy, how these different rules and laws are affecting human wellness. And the final class in that series is actually a science and social science of sexuality and gender, which is really looking at the science. Is this sound science? What are we actually seeing as the outcomes to the policies that we've adopted?
Mm. Wow. So that covers a number of areas, Leah. And if someone wanted to take the whole, cover the whole curriculum, how long might that take?
It's 30 credits total for the master's. Okay. Right. We're recommending that students probably just do one class per semester because it is graduate level work. And we are assuming that a lot of our students will be working people. This is a program that's offered virtually. It's synchronous learning. You do it online. So you'll come to class, you know, listen to your lecture together with your classmates, but then there's a lot of reading and stuff and writing done on your own. But we're recommending that you take it at a slower pace.
Okay.
You could really push it if you wanted to and, you know, go full time 9 credits per semester and get it done in about a year and a half. But we're recommending you take it at a pace of about 1 class per semester, which would take 3 years. It would take you 3 years to complete the entire master's at that pace.
Do you have a certain profile of a student in mind? Like, who's kind of the target audience here, if you have one?
Well, and that's the fascinating part, because it's so multidisciplinary, because we've got Catholic feminism, we've got health and wellness, we've got gender and family policy. Really, we're seeing all sorts of people that are interested, that are applying, that are inquiring right now. Everyone from, you know, Catholic priests and deacons that are saying, I think I need to understand this better to, you know, pastorally serve my parish, to stay-at-home moms that are like, I always wanted a women's studies degree, that are coming out of the woodwork, to the doctors and the nurses. We're getting interest from school administrators, people that are having to make policy. They're showing a lot of interest. So really, it's a multidisciplinary field. People from all across are welcome to apply. We're not requiring any certain bachelor's concentration. You can have your bachelor's in anything and apply for this.
That's good to know. And you have an impressive lineup of instructors and guest lecturers. Could you walk us through some of those instructors and lecturers?
Yeah, I'm very excited about who we have committed, you know, to teaching the classes themselves, and then who is also going to be coming in as guest lecturers. Our instructors of record right now, so starting this fall, we have Dr. Eileen Reuter, and she's coming to us from Columbia University, and she's going to be teaching that anthropology course, Human Person, Body, and Soul. Then following up in the spring, we've got Erica Bacchiacci is teaching the history and the sex of gender. And Erica, I don't know if you follow Erica at all, but she's just fabulous all around.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's incredible. And this is also right here. We can start to see the difference between the multidisciplinary background. So Eileen has her PhD in education and theology. Erica's a lawyer. She's coming from a legal background. And then Pia DeSalini is teaching the final course, the Catholic Thought and Feminism. And Pia has her doctor in theology. So we're seeing, you know, a spread already right there of the backgrounds. And then in the women's health and wellness, we've got, I mentioned her already, Dr. Marguerite Duane, founder of FACTS, a dear friend. She's a medical doctor. We have an MD. So really, you know, branching across the fields here.
Yeah.
Dr. Rachel Coleman will be teaching the medical ethics class. Dr. Coleman comes from Assumption College. She's in force, just an incredible force of, you know, metaphysics and theology and all of it thrown together. Dr. Amy Hamilton is teaching the science and social science course and the policy. And I have just become such a fan of her. She's just beginning to use her real name. She's been writing under a pseudonym for quite some time. She's been pretty prolific, actually, in this field, and has been doing a lot of research and writing about the effects of different sexualities and lifestyles and how they affect people. And so her coming out, in a sense, into our program is an incredible, incredible asset, I think, to the students.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dr. Kevin Stewart is also teaching policy. He is the director at the Center for NESTE for Faith and Culture, and a lot of background in these issues on policy in particular. So we're really excited. And then last but not least, we have Arena Agnew-Grosu is stepping in to teach our practical and professional applications courses.
Okay.
And that one is just, I'll mention really quickly, is really kind of an exciting aspect of the program. Mm-hmm. That final course, you know, kind of a capstone-esque course, is actually the only element of the course that's in person.
Okay.
So we do everything online until the final course, which has a 5-day in-person symposium at the University of St. Thomas in Houston. Mm-hmm. And Arena is the instructor for that, to guide students in their final capstone project.
Awesome. Now, where can our listeners go to learn more, Leah?
Yeah, the website is, I think it's an easy domain. It's www.catholicgenderstudies.com.
That is pretty easy to remember. Yeah, it's great. And I always love to ask my guests as we wrap up the interview, where have you been seeing signs of hope lately? Where have you really been seeing the work of the Holy Spirit around you? I mean, what you're doing right now, I think, is a sign of hope. But just from your own daily life and work, where are you seeing some signs of hope?
I'm seeing a lot of hope in the conversation at large. You know, right now, what is a woman is a big topic. Are women meant to just be homemakers is a big topic. I think this moment in time, the openness to the conversation and the fulfillment, I think, of some of what John Paul II was talking about in his letter to women and Evangelium Vitae, I'm seeing the conversation happening. For so many years, for two decades, we just kind of sat quietly with these amazing writings and nobody was really talking about it. Mm-hmm. And now we're finally kind of unpacking it and saying, well, what does that actually mean? And I'm hopeful because as a mother to seven children, I'm watching my kids, you know, transition off into high school and into college, and seeing my 16-year-old daughter and all of her friends know how to chart their cycles and talking about it. And like this awareness of their body in a way, I think something's changing. Something's changing right now in the church, and I'm really excited for it.
Oh, that's good to hear, Leah. Thank you so much for all of your work. Again, all of your outreach and ministry and concern and compassion, especially for young people and mothers. That's so beautiful to see. So thank you for that. And may God continue to bless you, your family, and your ministry.
Thank you so much.
Leah mentioned near the end of our interview that she is encouraged to see an openness to the conversations happening around the topics of gender and anthropology and the identity of the human person. And we know that these are not always easy conversations, especially in our current cultural climate. But if we can strive to begin each of these conversations with the perspective that is expressed in the book of Genesis, when God looks upon creation and pronounces it good, if we can start there with the assertion that it is truly good that each person has been called into existence by God Himself, and to let that awareness and affirmation of each person's inherent dignity permeate every part of the discussion, then I think we will be more readily guided by charity through some of these tougher topics. And in that same vein, I want to invite us to really let the Holy Spirit pave the way forward, as He is the one who truly changes minds and hearts. He is the author and the force behind every conversion and transformation. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Miriam Marston, and I hope you can join me next time as we continue to explore the evangelizing mission of the church. Until then, stay well and stay close to Christ. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Blazing the Trail, a weekly show dedicated to the church's mission of evangelization. For more information on Miriam Marston and her work, plus an archive of our past shows, visit us online at materdeiradio.com or download the Hail Mary Media app. Blazing the Trail is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.